Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Holy Name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? And today is December the 11th, 2022, and the Feast of St. Damasus, the First. And the blog, this temple has been under construction for 46 years. And what's that all about? Well, you just listen in and you'll find out. Very, 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 very interesting. And so let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases, according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family, amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by your precious blood, which you did will to shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities, and to look graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do save me for your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate on earth. Through the same Christ our Lord, amen. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end.
Lord of my heart, God be all.
St. Damasus the First. Pope St. Damasus was born into a Christian family in Rome. He became a deacon and served at the Basilica of St. Lawrence in Rome, where his father served as priest after the death of Pope Liberius, the son of a Roman priest, possibly of Spanish descent. Damasus started out as a deacon in his father's church and served as a priest in what later became the Basilica of San Lorenzo in Rome. He served Pope Liberius 352-366 and followed him into exile. And so Damasus was a 60-year-old deacon when he was elected Bishop of Rome in 366. His reign was marked by violence from the start when another group decided to elect a different pope. He would be an anti-pope. Both sides tried to enforce their selections through violence. Though the physical fighting stopped, Damasus had to struggle with these opponents throughout his years as pope. When Liberius died, Damasus was elected Bishop of Rome, but a minority elected and consecrated another deacon, Ursinus, as pope. The controversy between Damasus and the anti-pope resulted in violent battles in two basilicas, scandalizing the bishops of Italy. At the synod that Damasus called on the occasion of his birthday, he asked them to approve his actions. The bishop's reply was this: "We assembled for a birthday, not to condemn a man unheard." To gain support, Ursinus made the false accusation that St. Damasus had committed adultery. Supporters of the anti-pope even managed to get the pope, Damasus, because of this accusation as late as AD 378. He had to clear himself before both a civil court and a church synod. To his secretary, St. Jerome, and basically he answers this question about this adultery. St. Jerome wrote about St. Damasus: "He was an incomparable person, learned in the scriptures, a virgin doctor of the Virgin Church, who loved chastity and heard its praises with pleasure." And so St. Jerome, that coming from him, that ends that question very thoroughly for me. So Damasus was the pope who commissioned St. Jerome to translate the scriptures into Latin, the Vulgate version of the Bible. He spent 34 years in the Holy Land translating, and then 15 more years in Rome accomplishing this great task. St. Damasus seldom heard such unrestrained praise as he did from St. Jerome. Internal political struggles, doctrinal heresies, uneasy relations with his fellow bishops and those of the Eastern Church marred the peace of his pontificate. So he struggled to keep the church united, the East and West lungs. After Damasus elected, after his election, well, the pope prayed for the reconciliation of those clergy that had been separated and lived to see some of them return. And that's a great blessing right there. We are seed planters, and sometimes we are given the opportunity to see the cultivation of others for those seeds planted. And so Pope Damasus was able to live long enough to see some of this reunification and some of this clergy to return. And that's a blessing, and that's a joy. That's a joy. Well, St. Damasus, being a Spaniard, you know, he had a great eminence and learned. He was learned in the sacred scriptures. He called the First Council of Constantinople to combat heresies like Economus. Economus' heresy carried his view to a practical issue by altering the baptismal formula. Instead of baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he just baptized in the name of the, immersing the person in water. Instead of immersing the person in water three times, he baptized in the death of Christ with only one immersion. Then alteration was regarded by the Orthodox, by the church, as so serious that the communions on returning to the church was rebaptized. That's how, you know, what they did in the East for those who returned. They rebaptized them again. And that ecumenism, that's where that term comes from, ecumenism. And so that was a heresy. And then the heresy of Macedonius, a 4th century Christian heresy that denied the full personhood and divinity of the Holy Spirit. And up until just recent times, the church in the East had a real problem with the Holy Spirit up until recently. Well, according to this heresy, the Holy Spirit was created by the Son and was thus subordinate to the Father and the Son. And so that would be heresy. The Church, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all co-equal, co-eternal. And the Father, you know, the Nicene Creed. Well, the Council of Constantinople, which was now in Turkey, in AD 381. And St. Damasus may not have won this battle directly, but he won the war by initiating works that outlasted all his opponents. Not only did he commission the Vulgate translation, but he also changed the liturgical language of the church from Greek to Latin. He worked hard to preserve and restore the catacombs, the graves of the martyrs, and relics. As Pope, his lifestyle was simple in contrast to the ecclesiastics of Rome, and he was fierce in his denunciation of Arianism and other heresies. A misunderstanding of the Trinitarian terminology used by Rome threatened relations with the Eastern Church, and Damasus was only moderately successful in dealing with that challenge. And so, Damasus wrote in 382, this is his words, he said, not by the conciliar decisions of other churches, but has received the primacy by the evangelic voice of our Lord and Savior, who says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The first sea, therefore, is that of Peter the Apostle, that of the Roman Church. During his pontificate, Christianity was declared the official religion of the Roman state, and Latin became the principal liturgical language as part of the Pope's reforms. His encouragement of St. Jerome's biblical studies led to the Vulgate, the Latin translation of Scripture, which 12 centuries later, the Council of Trent declared to be authentic in public readings, disputations, and preaching. In a Roman cemetery as the papal crypt he built, All that is left of him there, however, is this. I, Damasus, wish to be buried here, but I fear to offend the ashes of these holy ones. Instead, when he died in 384, he was buried with his mother and sister. A saint in his own right, Pope Damasus I is also one of the history's great devotees of the saints. Chroniclers of his life record, not only his commitment to the intercession of the martyrs, but also his care for the tombs of the saints buried in Rome, which he renovated into shrines. Damasus composed Latin poetry in honor of these saints, some of which has survived. It was during Damasus' reign that Christianity was declared the religion of the Roman state. Pope Damasus also called the Council of Rome in 382 AD to clarify the canon of sacred scripture. He opposed heresy, worked to preserve the catacombs, and advocated the devotion to the Christians martyred there under the Roman persecutions. His feast day is December the 11th, which is today. Pope St. Damasus died on December 11th, 384. Since the 8th century, his relics have been venerated both in Rome's Church of St. Lawrence in Damaso, first built by St. Damasus himself, though rebuilt in later centuries, and in St. Peter's Basilica. And St. Damasus, pray for us. Pray for us. And now the article. This temple has been under construction for 46 years. John chapter 2:20 states, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days. That was the Pharisees' response to Jesus when he said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Well, he was talking about his own body, talking about his resurrection. But they misunderstood. They didn't understand. When he talked about destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he's talking about that this temple was under construction at this time for 46 years. That is a significant passage coming from today's from the gospel. How old was Jesus when he began his public ministry? He was 30 years old with some change. The Jews challenging Jesus said the construction of the temple was 46 years. What is 46 minus 30? 16. Well, how old was the Virgin Mary when she gave birth to Jesus? 16. The Immaculate Conception occurred on December 8th, 19 B.C. And the Virgin Mary was born September 8th, 18 B.C., making her 16 years old when she gave birth to Jesus, December 25th, 2 B.C. By 2019 B.C., in the 18th year of King Herod's reign, he began renovation of the Second Temple in Jerusalem and the expansion of the Temple Mount towards the north. This effort for the temple took a year and a half to complete, while it took 80 more years to finish out buildings and courts. Herod suffered from a painful, putrefying illness that was simply called Herod's evil, because he was evil. During the hot summers, King Herod would go to Jericho, where it would not be so hot. The point I am making is that September was a better time for Herod to oversee the work on the Temple Mount, precisely at the time of the Virgin Mary's birth. That is too uncanny, isn't it? the walls to include the eastern gate was created a flat platform upon which the temple was constructed. Remember that it is the eastern gate that was closest to the temple and the area that only the king or high priest would pass through. It is through this gate that Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, 33 AD, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. The east gate of the temple from ancient times of the church would be seen as a type of Mary, the tabernacle of God. In Christian tradition, the east symbolized the resurrection and ultimately the Lord's second coming. That is why, traditionally, our sanctuaries and altars are set up with the honoring of the east in mind. So we're talking about the temple. And so today is Sunday. To go to Mass. To go to the temple of the Lord. To go to Mass. To Mass, the center of your life. Make the Mass the center of your life.
Sound of
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And what a joyous time of the year that we're approaching. Advent, the coming of the King, Jesus. Blessed be the holy name of Jesus without end. Amen. And so we will end today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good day.